You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz, who worked on a program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. You like to bet on sports? Dave Malinsky is going to join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. You like to play NBA DFS? Nick Whalen, one of the best in the business, is going to join us. You like NFL DFS? Me and Tony Sincotta are going to take a look at the Week 11 numbers for the National Football League. We've got some intriguing matchups on the board. Listen, 2017, the NFL season has absolutely sucked rocks, man. But we've got an interesting card. I think this is the best week of football that we've had so far. A couple of intriguing football games, including the Rams and the Vikings, that we'll take a look at with the professor, Dave Malinsky. We've got some college football on the board this evening. I've got some picks for you as well. Our college basketball picks have been fire to start the season. Our NBA basketball picks have been, you know, pretty damn good. Now that we're, basically a month in or whatever it is into the NBA season, we've been doing well in the association. National Football League, that's another story, man. That stuff is Russian roulette. I nearly dropped an F-bomb right there. I should probably not talk about the NFL because it just makes me want to swear. It really does. It makes me want to swear, and it makes me want to smash things. But with that being stated, I'm in a good mood right now. Well, not really. I'm not really in a good mood, but I feel good. I don't really feel good physically, but I feel good about the games this evening. And I tell you, if we can't win tonight, we might as well just, like, quit, all right? We might as well just, delete our account, so to speak. We got monster night tonight. We got college football. We got NBA basketball. We got NHL hockey. And we got some great college basketball games, man. The Champions Classic taking place tonight at the United Center in Chicago. We've got Duke versus Michigan State. We've got Kansas versus Kentucky. Dave Malinsky is going to help us break these games down. So let's get right down to business so we can get to the guest. And to be honest, I'm tired of standing here. So let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. Every Monday we do, of course, our very popular segment, Who Ruined Your Sunday? Well, I think we got to start doing a Who Ruined Your Monday as well. Now, we did have the over of this football game, but I don't know what the hell I was thinking and believing that the Miami Dolphins were going to hang around in this spot. So the Dolphins, and we talk often about the NFL ratings and people want to blame Colin Kaepernick and they want to blame ESPN's politics and everything else in between. For the decline in the ratings, I've said it a million times. The ratings suck because the product sucks. You put a good game on, you put good teams on, you get good ratings. It's pretty simple. And the Miami Dolphins are not a good team. And the Miami Dolphins shouldn't be on primetime national television 3 freaking weeks in a row, man. Like, who makes this schedule? I guess Roger Goodell, because everything else that he does, he screws up. I thought you act like, supercomputers. Really, you don't have a super freaking computer? And you know what? Supercomputers don't exist. Computers suck, just like the Miami Dolphins. Baltimore Ravens beat them 40-0 on national television. They followed that up at home. They lost 27-24 to the Raiders in a game that really wasn't even that close. And then they followed this up last night, 45-21. That game really wasn't all that close. I'm not a mathematician, but I believe we're talking about 112-45 right now. You've been outscored 112-45 the last 3 games on national freaking television. You're an absolute disgrace. You're an embarrassment. You can literally take 11 Dolphins, like real Dolphins. I'm talking about you go down to SeaWorld or, you just get 11 Dolphins. Take 11 Dolphins. And I understand that the Dolphins wouldn't be able to live out of the water. And I get that. You could take 11 dead Dolphins. Like, I'm serious. Take 11 dead Dolphins and just put one dead Dolphin at left cornerback. Put another, dead Dolphin at right cornerback. Take 4 dead Dolphins, put them at linebacker. Hey, a dead Dolphin would do a better job covering somebody out of the backfield than Kiko Alonso would. Kiko Alonso, you suck, dude. You hardcore blow. You couldn't cover me, all right? So you just picture it, too. Just think, beached whales and stuff. Just think, 11 dead Dolphins. Sorry for the visual display. I didn't kill the Dolphins. They're already dead. I'm just saying, we take the dead Dolphins, you put them on the field, like cornerback, linebacker, safeties. What would they lose, honestly? Like, if the Baltimore Ravens played against 11 dead Dolphins on a field, what would the score be? 72-0? Like, they would still screw up. Flacco sucks enough that he would incomplete passes against a dead Dolphin at cornerback. Give me a bunch of dead Dolphins, essentially. Like, this is what it's become right now. You're a gutless team, all right? Jay Cutler, you're a freaking clown. Adam Gase, you're a bigger clown for giving this guy $10 million and thinking that he could be your quarterback on a successful National Football League team. Adam Gase, you are a clown because you just traded away your best player in Jay Ajayi, whose biggest crime was, oh yeah, in your own words, every time he touches the ball, he tries to hit a home run. I know. Because, you know, if I had a running back that, you know, actually could pop a 46-yard run for a touchdown once a game, I would tell him definitely not to do it. Think about this. The Miami Dolphins traded away their best offensive player because he swung for the fences too much. He's not part of the team plan, evidently. I guess part of the team plan is Ndamukong Suh choking Ryan Mallett, right? Like, just when you think the Miami Dolphins couldn't get any lower, they find new ways of getting lower. And you know what? I'm going to give credit to the New England Patriots. They deserve the credit. But the fact of the matter is, the New England Patriots play in the short bus division of the National Football League, all right? This is the special ed division. Let's just call it out for what it is. Like, who are the New England Patriots competing against? The Buffalo Bills? A bunch of dildo-tossing, naked, like, streak-running jerks? Like, who are the Buffalo Bills? Buffalo Bills haven't made a playoff in 17 years. You know, the New York Jets? The Jets are a joke. And the Miami Dolphins? I'd rather have a bunch of dead mammals on the field than Jay Cutler. You suck. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. You know, I'm going to copyright that. That's a great name for a punk rock band, Dead Dolphins. It's like the Dead Kennedys, said Dead Dolphins. And you sort of have, like, you know, I can picture the record cover right now. Sort of have a dead dolphin, but a fun-looking dead dolphin. Not so, you know, sort of like Joe Camel. You know, Joe Smooth. You know, he's got a helmet on, but he's sort of, you know what I'm saying. he's undead. Oh, that's right. This is a family. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll get back to my dead dolphin bit tonight on the podcast. My point is the Dolphins suck, all right? That was my point with this. All right, another good name for a punk rock band, Three Point Shot. That's a good one. That's like the name of a type of candy-ass punk rock band that Drusilla, Camera 2 Drew would like. I got confused with our boy Drusilla in New York, the only two Drews I know. And Drusilla in New York's not a Blink-182 fan, but our boy Camera 2 Drew is. Dave Malinsky, I don't know if Dave's ever even heard of Blink-182. We've got Nick Whalen. He probably has. Tony Cincata. Tony Cincata knows everything. So let's start off with Dave Malinsky right now. The professor, straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can read his column on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. Dave, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, I know some of the names, but I'm not familiar with a lot of their music. And, you know, we put a lot of music in the Point Blank column, at least every Monday and Friday. And people say, you know, why did you focus in on the new stuff? Are you one of these old guys? So people understand this. And I think you would know this very well as being a musician. When I was growing up, people thought rock and roll was for young people because it was first generation. Well, what we didn't expect is there are so many who kept creating music all through their careers. I mean, I'm driving out to get some bagels this morning, and I'm listening to a new Robert Plant CD. You've got Springsteen, Seeger, so many people who keep writing and keep playing. That's what's happened, is we didn't have to disconnect. Turns out rock and roll wasn't for young people. It was ageless and timeless.
So I like that. Yeah, you're not... You're still listening to new music of older artists. And you know what's funny, actually, Dave? Like you said, I was in a metal band for a long time, and we're actually doing a new record. And over the years, I never really had an inclination to do it, but sort of got the urge a couple of months ago. And you figure, well, now I'm old and stuff, and it won't be, you know, it's different, you know, but it's funny. We're way better. It's amazing. Like, it really is true. Like, you know, way smarter, faster, better, knowing how to, you know, get around things that before were obstacles for us. So it's amazing when it comes to music. And that's the beauty of music, actually. Unlike sports, if you're a boxer, you're screwed. When you're 47, you're not throwing as quick as you used to. You're just not. If you're 47, you can still play guitar, Dave. If you're 77, you can still play guitar, as we see with the Rolling Stones of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we just had widespread panic out here for a weekend gig in Las Vegas. They've been touring forever, playing forever, and yet they're playing better now than they probably ever have, because you're right, not only do you understand the practical aspects of playing music, but your life experiences bring you more things that you can flow into that music.
Well, we'll see if we could flow that into winning some games as well. Winning some games. So much stuff I want to get to here with you, Dave. Let's quickly start off with the National Football League. Panthers beat the Dolphins last night. Now 7-3, right there in the mix. You know, the Eagles sort of floored everybody with how good that they have been. But the fact of the matter is, they're only one game up on a couple of teams right now, and things can change in a hurry in the National Football League. So the Philadelphia Eagles don't have anything locked in. They've got a big game this week against the Dallas Cowboys. I can't wait. The NFL has been terrible this year. To me, sort of like last Saturday in college was the best Saturday that we had of the year. I think this week is the best NFL that we get, specifically with that Vikings and the Rams game. But quickly taking a look at the updated NFC futures right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are plus 240. Seahawks are plus 500, Saints plus 500, Rams plus 600, Minnesota Vikings plus 750. And the thing that catches my eye about these odds here, Dave, is the Minnesota Vikings not really getting a lot of love. You know, out of these teams we talked about, I personally think the Vikings are the best bet on this board at plus 750.
Boy, it depends upon what our perceptions are when we get to playoff time, because we're thinking about this from a baseball standpoint. Put all those teams that you just talked about out there into January. Give me the experience of Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, because with these others, you know, as good as Carson Wentz has been, playoff experience isn't there. Case Keenum is okay right now. He's a decent game manager.
Are you really going to the Super Bowl with Case Keenum? I know.
Yeah, that is. And, of course, this is something you and I have talked about off the air. Do the Vikings at some point say, okay, we want to be Teddy Bridgewater by week 13 or week 14, knowing that right now Keenum is better for the team than Bridgewater, but, and it's a big but, Bridgewater gives you a little upside in January that Keenum doesn't give you. When you're in the regular season, you take the plays that are available against your opponent, and you make things happen. When you get into the playoffs, there aren't that many plays available. Sometimes the quarterback has to make something happen. That's not what Case Keenum is best at.
All right, Dave. So we got the Vikings and the Rams this week. And I talked about the Vikings not getting a ton of respect from the betting market at plus 750. Generally, listen, Mike Zimmer, arguably the best coach in the league. We'll give that mantle to Belichick, obviously. But Zimmer's right there. When we're talking about covering spreads, Zimmer is a king. Laying a short number here against the visiting L.A. Rams. And the Philadelphia Eagles lay 3 on the road to the Dallas Cowboys, who were flat against the Atlanta Falcons. When you look at that Cowboy game, is that a sign of things to come for the Cowboys, or is that just the team flat after winning 3 games in a row?
Might be a sign of things to come if they can't get Smith back in the offensive line. They don't expect to have Sean Lee this week. And while Lee doesn't get a lot of publicity because, you know, the Cowboys have so many high-profile stars, when you check the Lee in and Lee out numbers over the last couple of seasons, they're pretty pronounced.
Yeah.
So he's made a big difference in that defense. If they don't have Smith and Lee on top of Elliott, it's asking maybe for a little bit too much. But here's what we want to think about with two of these teams this week, Philadelphia on the road and the Rams on the road. They have playoff stats. They have some playoff talent. But do these teams have playoff composure yet? Are they ready to go on the road in pressure settings and play well. Eagles have played some decent road games this year because the pressure wasn't really out there yet. Now here comes the pressure. Same thing with the Rams. There hasn't been pressure yet. The first time that young teams have to deal with pressure, sometimes it isn't pretty.
And we've got the Rams and the Vikings. You know, you've got Case Keenum. Case Keenum was on the Rams, and now you got Jared Goff lighting it up. And it's amazing what a quarterback coach can make, Dave. You know, last year people buried Jared Goff. He's a bust. You know, what a big bust. He's a terrible quarterback. Yet, what is Jeff Fisher going to do to help a young quarterback as opposed to a guy like Sean McVay? And it's just pushing all the right buttons right now. But I just like that Vikings defense coming into this spot.
Yeah, here's the funny thing about this season. Is so many people are picking on Jeff Fisher, saying, gee, what a dumb coach. I'm thinking, Jeff Fisher has got to be one of the greatest geniuses of our generation, because look at what he got away with for so long. How could he have been that bad, and still, here comes that paycheck all the time? So, yeah, Fisher got away with a lot. That was an extremely undercoached team last year. And it's not just developing the quarterback. It's a coaching staff helping to develop some receivers who had talent but hadn't played that well. And you know it because some of these guys were in Buffalo uniforms in the past. So we're seeing a lot of different pieces come together. And one of the big things, and this is a guy who's not being talked about as much as the others step their game up, isn't it nice having a fresh Todd Gurley down the stretch, one of the best running backs in the NFL? He has not had to carry a huge load in this offense. When they need him to second half of the season, he's going to be ready for it.
All right, Dave, let's talk some college basketball, some big-time college basketball this evening in Chicago. Champions Classic. That's what they're calling it this year. So it's a Champions Classic tournament. Whatever they want to call it, it's good stuff. We got Michigan State and Duke, and we've got Kansas and Kentucky. Coach K has absolutely owned Tom Izzo. 10-1 in 11 head-to-head matchups, Dave. But if there's ever a time that it seems that Duke is there for the taking, if you're the Michigan State Spartans, it's tonight. And you look at last year, Michigan State were an extremely young team, and they really took their lumps early with that tough schedule, including losing to the Duke Blue Devils. But this is an experienced team right now. Jaren Jackson's going to be the only freshman that's going to be on the court tonight. Winston, Langford, Bridges, and Ward, all experienced players. Meanwhile, the Duke Blue Devils, they started four freshmen over the weekend, Dave. Is this the spot where Sparty gets them?
There's an opportunity, because even though Michigan State's got all those sophomores, those kids played a lot. I mean, Miles Bridges played enough last year to have been a high NBA draft choice. He did something kids almost never do anymore. He decided to come back, you know, for one more season. Actually lost 12 pounds in the offseason, so he's going to be quicker. He's going to be a little more savvy. But this Duke team game is scary. If these kids all committed and said, we are going to stay at Duke for 4 years, this would become Krzyzewski's best ever team. The size, the talent, it's remarkable. I believe at least three of these freshmen will be in the NBA next season. Bagley, if you had to have the NBA draft tomorrow, Bagley would be the number one guy taken. You're going to see a 6'11 kid who could actually play shooting guard if he had to. He's got that sort of skill. So I think Michigan State will be a little more advanced than Duke, but I don't want to go into that Duke talent level unless this line rises a little bit higher. I'll take Michigan State plus three. I won't take them plus 1.5 or plus two.
And it's dropped to 1.5 right now, the money coming in on Sparty. Between the two games, this is the one I think is the more solid foundation of a bet to lay down on. We've got, it's up to 5 right now, so there's been movement here as well. Kansas Jayhawks laying 5. And I'll tell you what, Dave, it's a rarity, is it, in today's modern college basketball? You were just talking about the one-and-dones of Duke. And it's also interesting to know with Duke, over the years, Duke have been, you know, one of the elite college basketball programs, but haven't been known as being an NBA factory. Yet Coach K has clearly embraced this one-and-done era right now. You mentioned Bagley, and also got a great Canadian kid in R.J. Barrett, Dave, who's a really, 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 really good player as well. And he basically admitted when he announced he was going to Duke, oh, yeah, I'm only going to be there for 1 year. So Coach K's embraced this now. You know, like you said, he's getting a whole new level of talent, and he's the best X and O basketball coach in college basketball by far. But as far as Kansas is concerned, you know, they lose guys, but they just keep reloading all the time, except like a well-run company, they're not starting off from one-and-dones here, Dave. They've got freshmen, but they've got experience as well. It's a rarity to see, and you look at Kansas's roster, that's an experienced basketball team.
It is, because there's some extra dimensions to it. That usually these teams are only allowed, you know, you're going to get one foreign trip, which you take in the offseason every 4 years. And those foreign trips are real big to develop a team. But the NCAA doesn't count playing in the World University Games over in Taipei as an exemption. And for people who don't know, what college basketball is doing now is, instead of sending an all-star team over there, they send a team over. Well, Kansas was there 2 years ago. This past summer, the Kansas players had a summer tour of Italy to play extra games. So they've got a lot under their belt. I think they're much further along than Kentucky. Kentucky struggled badly in both weekend games. They were actually trailing Utah Valley in the second half in Rupp Arena. John Calipari, real wide open about it. We can't guard anybody right now. That's his phrasing. Well, if you can't guard Vermont or Utah Valley, you're not going to be able to guard Kansas. I could see Kansas maybe winning this one by, you know, by 8 to 10 points, maybe even getting it into low double figures.
I like the over in this game as well, Dave. I think there'll be some points put up on the board here. We mentioned Coach K being 10-1 against Izzo. Bill Self and Calipari have gone head-to-head six times, including in two national championship games, Dave, and they split those. Bill Self won the national title in 2008, Kansas versus Memphis. Remember that game? Derrick Rose missed the free throw. And then, of course, Coach Cal got it done against Bill Self in 2012. Anthony Davis went off. And, you know, it's funny, Dave, I thought you'd enjoy this. I put this in the notes. I watched that game. That's when, right when I moved to Vegas, around that era, and I watched that game at Palace Station. You know, it's amazing sporting events. You remember where you were. I even remember the exact seat I was sitting in, Dave, at Palace Station that night. And unfortunately, I was on Kansas in that basketball. I had a future on Kansas, and I wrote it out. But nevertheless, Coach Cal and Self have had a great history of big games against each other, but I think Self gets the best of Cal tonight.
It's really laid out that way. Now, the one caution I have is, part of Kentucky's struggles were in those first two games, they were against opponents that would slow it down and sort of exasperate them a little bit. The Kentucky kids will get to get out and run and be a little bit looser tonight. But again, you have a bunch of kids that just haven't played together. Kansas has. So I think Kansas will carve up that Kentucky defense. Tell you what I did mostly on that one, Gabe, and I found it at a few shops. The Kansas team total over 78. I like your full game over idea. The one fear is if Kentucky, you know, had a bit of a meltdown.
Yeah.
So I'll just bet the Kansas team total over and rely on the Jayhawks. I think they can score into the 80s.
I like where we're going with that. And Kansas should be able to hit their free throws tonight as well as we get later in the game. Let's keep it in the college world right now, but let's switch gears over to football. And this is more from a fan standpoint, although I don't know if you have any opinions on the MAC. I don't think you pay too much attention to the MAC, but it'll be the third edition of the rankings that come out tonight. And Dave's going to be pretty fun down the stretch. The Pac-12 has played itself out of the conversation right now, so it makes the committee's job slightly easier. Now it comes down to, how do you handle Wisconsin? So I ask you, what do you think the four will be, and what do you think they should be? And I'm thinking, all right, Alabama is going to retain number one, even though, you know, Georgia was number one, but Alabama will move up, even though they nearly got the carpet pulled out of them from Mississippi State. I got to believe Miami. I mean, how do you not have Miami ahead of Clemson? They're undefeated, monster win against Notre Dame. So long story short, Dave, I'm thinking Alabama, Miami, Clemson, Oklahoma will be the four tonight?
Yeah, I think that's pretty cut and dried. That may not be the exact order, but I think the four is pretty cut and dried. Still, so much can happen. And here's what's interesting out there now, because the Alabama-Auburn look-ahead line has now been dropped all the way down to Alabama -3. So that means a very competitive game. What does the committee do if Auburn beats Alabama and then loses to Georgia, and you get this nice mess, you know, out of the SEC? Or even if Auburn wins both games, if they beat Bama and then beat Georgia
in
the SEC title game, they're in. But is Bama all the way out? Because you know what? If Bama loses to Auburn, what are the Alabama quality wins?
No, they're out. Exactly, they're out. We can't give them a name and reputation only. And, you know, Dave, people would argue Mississippi State was their toughest opponent that they played, their toughest game, and they nearly lost that game.
Yeah, the LSU win and the Mississippi State win weren't all that dominating. So even Alabama may face that pressure of having to beat Auburn and Georgia.
What about the Badgers? What about the Badgers now at 10-0? Hard to ignore. They're not going to, if they go undefeated and run the Big Ten table and win the Big Ten championship, they're going to get in. But do they run the table? And Michigan seems to have a little bit of a spark right now with Peters at the quarterback position.
Yeah, that's a difficulty, is Michigan is going to be real tough. Keep in mind, the last 5 years, Wisconsin is 0-8 against Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. The program has not been able to beat any of those big three. They're going to have to win twice, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan, yeah, Penn State, or Michigan twice. They're going to have to win two big games, and that'll be enough because keep in mind, Miami and Clemson will knock themselves out. So even if Wisconsin is number five tonight, you're essentially number four.
That's a good point.
Because
Clemson, you're right. Two of these teams are there, but one of them won't be at the end, right? So if you're Wisconsin, no need to panic about the rankings tonight.
No, just go and win your games. And the big irony, and we'll actually enjoy this, is the Big 12 went to a championship game this year to help themselves. It can end up hurting them. If Oklahoma did not have to play in a Big 12 championship game, they're probably in. What if they play it and lose to TCU and the conference ends up costing itself by having that game instead of helping?
So ultimately, you know, we'll wrap it up with this, but ultimately, let's say Alabama survives and gets through. So Alabama, Clemson or Miami, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, there's your four. If Wisconsin can survive winning these games. There's a lot of ifs, Dave. That's what makes this so fun. And I'd prefer if it was an 18 playoff, but, college football, I remember one of the executives of college football about 25 years ago when they were co-national champions, 20 years ago, remember Michigan and Nebraska. And even before that, there'd be, ties and there'd be issues. And college football basically admitted, they said, controversy is good. It gets people talking. And, we have that this year right now. They like people debating like us, which team should get in, which team should get out.
They do. The only thing I don't like is I hear a lot of people pitch for the eight. It's sometimes it's going to be tough to decide who's number four and who's number five.
Why don't we simply, Dave, conference champions? You have five power conferences. Why don't we just have the five power conferences and three wild cards?
Because the gap between the conferences some years.
I know.
The Pac-12 doesn't deserve.
Isn't it the same thing in college basketball, though? I mean, the WAC isn't on the same as the Big Ten, but they both get a spot in the tournament.
Yeah, because you drop it so far down. When you have so many teams in the NCAA tournament, because essentially the NCAA tournament, even though Division I is way bigger than it should be, still 20% of all of the teams get into the basketball tournament, that would be the equivalent of 26 football teams into the playoffs.
That's too many.
So the problem is when you get beyond four, if you're going to go to an eight team, the gap between number eight and number 20 could be paper thin. Yeah, so it gets too convoluted when you get down to six, seven, and eight.
It's a great debate and conversation. We got to get out of here. But to me, you have five power conferences. One of the conferences shouldn't know they're getting screwed going in. Or at least maybe they get two in, but it just seems to me, and even six. Let's go to six, but nevertheless, we got to get out of here. It's always a pleasure, Dave, and we encourage people to go over to sportsbookreview.com and check out Dave's daily column, Vegas Point Blank. It's right there on the front page. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
This is Dave Malinsky with us. All right, we're going to talk some college. We're going to talk some football and some basketball. Tony Cincotta. I wasn't sure if Nick Whalen or Cincotta was up next, but Tony Cincotta joins us next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Tony Sincotta is going to join us momentarily. We'll talk some NFL, DFS, little NBA, DraftKings for this evening. Head over to dailyroto.com, enter code FNTSY, get 10% off your DFS kits for expert projections, analysis, and lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyroto.com with the best fantasy experts in the business over at Daily Roto. We're tracking down Tony Sincotta. I think we're doing a phone hit with Tony right now. Tony joins us. What's up? What's up, Tony?
Ah, you know what? Three games in the NBA tonight. We got football coming up this week. And, of course, Cam Newton blessed us with his presence last evening.
Yeah, Superman in the house. So I got to ask you first, though, Tony, what the hell's going on here? We see you on Skype. Picture looks great. I don't know. It looked like you were wearing like a Team Russia hockey jersey or something like that. And no audio. What's going on? You use Skype every day, Tony. What's the problem?
I don't know. Is it a Canadian United States thing? Did Donald Trump put an embargo on the audio volume? I have no idea. I'll have to get with his people.
Blame Putin. Right. Everyone else does. Russia colluding with Tony's Skype. All right, let's get down to business, though. I want to talk some NFL, but you're right. We got three games on tap tonight in the association. We'll keep our eye on the Kyrie Irving situation. You've got the Rockets and the Raptors, the highest scoring game of projection tonight as far as totals are concerned. What do you make of it tonight for DFS purposes?
You know, it's interesting. The Houston Rockets have been absolutely on fire, and I love it's easy. On three-game slates, you have to go and play a guy like James Harden. He puts up 80 points. You don't have him. There's no one else that's going to put up those numbers, so you're forced in to go in there. But then you throw a couple cheap guys, Clint Capela, and Eric Gordon's been scoring like crazy. Eric Gordon's actually been playing point guard with the second unit, so he's playing shooting guard with the top unit, playing point guard with the second unit, and getting a ton of minutes, and he's way in the price.
All right, I want to confirm. Can we confirm? I don't know if you know, Tony. We'll get the guys in the booth to confirm if not. So what is Irving's status? And Norman Powell is out, right? Powell's out for the Raptors. I just want to confirm that. But I believe, Powell's out, right, Tony?
Yeah, and Kyrie Irving, there has been no designation there. You know, it's crazy with the winning streak to see him go out there and play with this sort of situation. You would think that they would take it easy.
Dude's hardcore. And this is his homecoming. Well, the Nets aren't in New Jersey anymore, but he is a Jersey kid, right? So he gets up for these Knick and Net games.
He says he's going to play tonight, but the Celtics haven't confirmed that.
All right, so ESPN's reporting that he's expected to play this evening.
Yeah.
Expected. Like you said, so he's $8,200. Harden's just so freaking expensive, but, you know, I mean, is he going to get – the guy puts up 80 points, 85 points, you almost have to have it.
Well, that's the whole thing, that when you have the least amount of games, there's less room for error, right? And if one of these guys goes off for 80 in the second or third guy in a three-game slate, and one game involves San Antonio and Dallas, which barely has a 200 total, and the other game only has a 208 total, and we're talking 230 total, you're going to be way behind, and there's no way you can make that up. You can make it up in a 10 or 11-game slate. You can't make up James Harden in a game with three games.
And there's a lot of value guys on the board for cheap that you can get in here, specifically on the Raptors tonight. The OG, the kid out of Indiana, and C.J. Miles very cheap tonight. You figure C.J. Miles will bury a couple of three. I'm not saying there's massive upside there with Miles, but he'll give you your value back for your dollar here for the price.
Yeah, and Spencer Dinwiddie's going to get a bunch of
Dinwiddie,
tonight.
$4,800. Got to have him.
Yep.
Yeah, he's starting.
Yep. He'll be ready to go.
Starting for the Nets.
And LeBron's boy, Dennis Smith Jr., will be a nice play. I don't usually play people against San Antonio, but at $5,600, he's starting to come on.
Yeah, that's the thing. I know it's against San Antonio, but at the same point in time, for that type of price range, he's giving you 40 points, giving you 8-9 times the value at times. All right, NFL price check time. Tom Brady, $7,400 versus the Raiders. Oakland give up the 12th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. This game is in Mexico City. I like how the Raiders opponent here, the Patriots, were smart enough to figure out, all right, we're playing in Denver, altitude. That's an advantage. And now we're going to stay all week, and we're going to practice at the Air Force Academy where the Air Force Falcon football team plays. So Tom Brady, $7,400. Drew Brees, $6,800 versus the Skins. I think there's going to be some points in that game, Tony. That, you know, as a bettor, I look at the Saints and the Redskins, and I think, man, this game could be a track meet. But one of the reasons why the Saints are a 7-2 football team right now is the fact that they run the ball so much. They ran the ball 24 times in a row, Tony.
Yeah, it's crazy. So here's the Drew Brees situation in a contract year. Who would ever think we're talking about Drew Brees in a contract year? 13 fantasy points, 18 fantasy points, 11 in his last three games. They won all three games.
Exactly.
Decidedly. They won by 37, they won by 20, and they won by 8 over the Bears in a game Ingram tried to give it away. He's not throwing the ball at Drew Brees' standards. That's what worries me. It makes it hard for me not to go to Tom Brady. I thought Denver would stop Tom Brady the other night. And you know what? It was the first game. He got touched once. By a team with that kind of pass rush, he got knocked down one time in that game. That offensive line is getting better in New England.
You know, Jared Goff has just been a money machine. He's been a go-to guy on a weekly basis, except he's in Minnesota this week against the Vikings. Are you scared off of Goff at $6,400? And how about my boy Case Keenum? $5,100, getting zero respect, just like the Vikings themselves only being 2.5-point favorites in this football game. But Case Keenum, 6 touchdowns last 2 games, 29 and 18 DK points. He's cheap at $5,100. And even though the Vikings have a good defense, I imagine there will be some points put up on the board in this football game. What are you making of quarterbacks in this one?
Yeah, I'll start with Jared Goff. They're 13th, Minnesota, in allowing points to quarterbacks, so they're not right there at the top. And people, pay attention. The Rams have scored the most points in all of the National Football League. This young kid takes over this team and has put together an offense where Goff has thrown up 29-31 fantasy points in his last 2 games. I think he puts down a workmanlike effort. I think he comes out here. Case Keenum, I'm scared to death. Because I don't know what the hell the Vikings are doing, even considering talking about Teddy Bridgewater. How does the coach come out and say, oh, we haven't decided on our quarterback, and then later in the day, people had to say, hey, dude, the guy's won 6 in a row. Why don't you give him a little support? What the hell are they thinking about in Vikings? If you have to sit out 2 years to get better, Teddy Bridgewater has done it. This guy had 14 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions, 14 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions, and all of a sudden we talk about this guy like he's Jim Kelly.
I can't disagree. And Dave Malinsky, who I respect a lot, was talking about it earlier, that they have a difficult decision to make. And what's the difficult decision? They're a 7-2 football team. You know, you're not going to take the keys away. It's like Rob Johnson and Doug Flutie. Remember in Buffalo?
Oh, my God.
That's a good comparison. Remember Doug Flutie was a backup, doing a great job all year long. No, we're going to go to Rob Johnson. Let's just play Rob in the last game of the year just to get him ready in case. And then, no, let's just start Rob. I don't get it either. $5,100 for Case Keenum. As far as running backs concerned, you want to talk about teams that have quit. Kareem Hunt, everyone's forgotten about Kareem Hunt. $8,000 against the Giants. Giants gave up 132 yards a game on the ground. Is Kareem Hunt just a must start this week against the Giants?
I absolutely think he is, and I'll tell you what, you look at it, and everybody talks about maybe a rookie hitting a running back wall. You know, they don't play this many games. He didn't play against Division I competition. You look back, and he hasn't got a touchdown this week. 3-10 fantasy points, 9 fantasy points, 15-16. You know who gets better? The Giants will make a running back better. There's no doubt about it. He's going to get everything he needs. He don't need to go to the pharmacy. He's just going to play the New York Giants.
I like where you're going with that, and you know, one thing that I always used to disagree with Pat Mayo with was Mark Ingram, and he'd tell me how useless Mark Ingram is all the time. And then I think Gary and Thorne bought into it. It was like a fantasy sports network wide thing. I was like, I don't know what the hell these guys are saying. Ingram's not a star, but Ingram's a serviceable NFL running back, and we see now that if you give him touches and you get him involved in the offense, he can put points up. He's been a fantasy stud, but I bring this up. It's amazing to me how expensive he is at $8,100. Who would ever have thought today that Mark Ingram would be $8,100? And I'm thinking, well, if Ingram's $8,100, I'll go to Kamara and get some value at Kamara. Kamara's $7,100. It's extremely rare that you'll see two running backs on the same team priced this high.
Gabe, here's the problem right now. If you take the top four running backs in the National Football League, Le'Veon, fantasy-wise, Le'Veon Bell's one, Todd Gurley's two, Ingram and Kamara are three and four. You can't put anyone else above them. And you look at their price tags, DraftKings. Ingram's the third highest price. Kamara's down at seven. So you're actually getting a bargain on Kamara.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know if I'm going to spend money between the two of them, and that's why they're winning football games. The difference of Kamara is absolutely massive. And if Freeman's out, Coleman's definitely the play as well. But we'll talk more NFL DFS throughout the week. Always a pleasure, Tony. And check out Tony and Dave Martinez at 6 o'clock Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Television and Radio Networks. Thanks, Tony.
Good night.
Tony will be on the radio tonight, too, at 11 o'clock Eastern. We'll take a quick break. Nick Whalen joins us next. NBA DFS.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, let's talk some NBA DFS with one of the best in the business. I'll just throw some players out there, go over some prices, and let this man talk, because this guy, unlike me, actually wins money. I have nothing but bad beats and excuses. Ah, Devontae Freeman got hurt. What can I do? It's true, though. What can you do? Yeah, you know, like, yeah, hey, Nick, what can you do? All right, like, sometimes, last night, I was betting last night. I had an in-game over. Great basketball game, Rhode Island and Nevada. Had a real tournament feel, man. Had a real tournament feel. And I was betting in-game overs, and I was winning, and I got greedy. I kept pushing it, and one of Rhode Island's best players went down, but, like, viciously. Like, they rolled the ambulance out onto the court and the stretcher and the whole 9 yards. It was like a football injury. And the kids were rattled. Football players are used to it, but basketball is different, right? So when you're on a basketball court, remember, like, Gordon Hayward? People got, oh, that's so gruesome. This stuff happens on a football field all the time. We sort of scrape the guy off the turf and keep going. So they were freaking rattled. They scored like 2 points in the last 3 minutes after. Even like their local announcer's like, yeah, they're clearly rattled by this, Jim. Like, you know, I was like, yeah, no kidding, because I got money on it. That's why this just happened. You know, never
I
mind
think
a
part
kid.
Of that yeah. might be, part of that might be on you for betting a mid-November Rhode Island-Nevada basketball game.
That was one of the higher profile games I bet last night, buddy. That was one of the
higher. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, that was one. But you're a big college ball fan. I see you. You're a college guy, right? I see you tweeting about that stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, I love this stuff, man. I bet on I bet on the Riverside game the other night. UC Riverside. I actually won. All right. So nevertheless, let's talk some NBA DFS. Three games on board tonight. Let me get right down to business. Is James Harden a necessity when it's a three-game slate? Do you have to own him? What do you tell people that, like, they're at home right now, and not everybody's won millions of dollars and watching a network, and the bosses often tell us, hey, guys, you know, explain things to people often. So what do you do? If you're a casual guy tonight, you're looking, it's so expensive, but in a three-game slate, do you have to own Harden tonight?
I mean, you don't have to. They don't require you to own him, but in this particular three-game slate, I would certainly recommend it. I mean, no Chris Paul still for Houston, so no real reason to believe that there'll be any kind of issue as far as, you know, reintegrating him just yet. That'll probably come later in the week. But Harden has been very quietly outside of that 56-point game just as good as he's been last year. He's the only player in the NBA averaging 10 assists per game right now. I believe he's fourth in overall fantasy points going by the league's official scoring system. So he's been really good. The Rockets haven't missed a beat without Chris Paul. When you look at the rest of the slate tonight, yeah, Kyrie Irving's back, but maybe a little banged up after basically missing the last two games. He went down early 2 games ago with that facial injury. He'll be back with a mask on. Not sure how effective he'll be. And then there just really aren't that many other elite players. You know, the next highest priced player on the board tonight is LaMarcus Aldridge, who is a good player, was a perennial all-star for a while, but is certainly not the caliber of James Harden. So if you don't have James Harden in your lineup, You really, really have to make sure you hit on just about everything else because you don't have that cash cow at the top.
And, you know, Kyle Lowry's pretty consistent, but there's not that upside, right? He'll give you the 30 to 35, but there's not going to be that explosion there. What do you make of DeMar DeRozan now that he's somewhat starting to add the three ball to his arsenal a little bit? Do you like that a little bit more? And the problem with DeMar has always been that it's exclusive scoring. But if you're playing anyone on the Raptors tonight, do you like them or do you go? Do you like anyone on the lower tier, CJ Miles, or do you like DeMar tonight?
You know, like you said, I still need to see more of a sample from DeRozan for him to show me that he's more than just a scorer who will get you three or four rebounds and a couple of assists. I know he said before the year he wants to lead the team in assists per game this year. And he's actually averaging, I believe, slightly below his assists per game last season. So I'm not sure that's going to come to fruition. And with Kyle Lowry, I mean, he hasn't been bad. He's picked things up of late after a little bit of a rough start. But he hasn't quite looked like, you know, the same Kyle Lowry who was, yeah, you know, an all-star starter a couple of years ago. He's taking four fewer shots per game. You know, this is a guy who averaged, I think, 1.7 steals over his previous seven seasons combined. So a pretty strong sample size. He's only had 0.6 steals per game. That's a little concerning. Field goal percentage is down. Three-point percentage is down. He just hasn't been aggressive. And the fact that we're, 13, 14 games into the year, and Kyle Lowry still doesn't have a 20-point game, to me, that's a little bit concerning.
I brought up Dinwiddie earlier due to the fact Russell being out $4,800 tonight. Nice guy to slot in your lineup. Do you agree with Dinwiddie? And in a couple of minutes, who do you like tonight? Who are some guys I didn't bring up that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, we'll start with Dinwiddie. I mean, he's kind of the obvious, you know, chalky replacement play tonight, you know, based on what I've read and what I've heard with D'Angelo Russell out and probably out, I should say, for at least two or three games. This could be more than a one-game bump for Dinwiddie, but he's had a couple of 20-point games earlier this year when D'Angelo Russell missed some time. He had an 11-assist game early in the year as well. So, I mean, this is a guy that a lot of people forget was a borderline lottery type of talent coming out of Colorado. He ended up tearing his ACL in his final college season, and that really set him back in terms of his NBA trajectory. He's kind of ended up as a journeyman since then, but the talent is there, and we've seen with him over and over when given the opportunity. He can be a very effective DFS player. He's a guy with great size, someone who's bounced around quite a bit. But I do like Dinwiddie tonight, very cheap option. You know, maybe not the highest upside, but also a pretty high floor at that price. And even going back to the Raptors, you know, Norman Powell is out tonight on the wing for them. You and I talked a bit before we went on air. I think that probably means around 30 minutes, if not more, for CJ Miles, who, you know, he struggled a little bit. Percentages haven't been great, but, you know, you're basically plugging him in. I think he's at 3,100 on FanDuel, yeah. And you hope that he hits four or five three-pointers and returns you some value there. So not a ton of upside on a three-game slate like this, but you have to pick your spots. You know, look at guys who are hurt and look at who the beneficiaries might be. And I think Miles and even the rookie, OG Anunoby, kind of fit that bill.
All right, we've got 30 seconds. So is there one guy we didn't bring up that has to be in someone's lineup in 30 seconds?
Ooh, I like Dennis Smith quite a bit. He's a guy that's picked it up of late. Was a little bit of a slow start. He's starting to shoot the ball more. He's starting to get more aggressive. LeBron James was certainly impressed with what he saw from Dennis Smith over the weekend. Six straight games now of at least 15 points. The assists are starting to come around. The rebounds are there. And we're starting to see now, you know, why a lot of people were picking Dennis Smith to win the Rookie of the Year before the season.
Massive upside as well, man. He's put up some 40s and some 45s for this range, 8-9 times of value. We got to get out of here. Always a pleasure, Nick. Check out Nick over at RotoWire. He's one of the best in the business. We're going to come back with our plays of the day coming up next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right. when it's time for our plays of the day, you know what? We're going to enjoy tonight's games, and we're going to win money. You know why? Because there's no NFL football to screw us over. Let's start off with the Toronto Raptors. They've never screwed me over. Give me the Raptors plus 6.5. Give me the Raptors and the Rockets over 219.5. Give me the Michigan State Spartans. Yes, I know that Izzo is 1-10 against Coach K. Make it 2-10. Sparty wins tonight. God, I hate the Spartans. The better bet is Kansas. Kansas are definitely going to beat Kentucky, and they're going to beat them easily. The game's going to go way over the number 151. Give me Central Michigan and Kent State over 45. Akron Zips plus the points. Canadians to win, and it goes under the number. May the winners be yours.